Good evening. We are the Johnston family, and the Lord's called us to East Timor. I'll introduce. So my wife, Tia, we've been married 10 years this year, just last December, and we have three boys. Jeshua's turning 8, Noah's 6, and Nathaniel is 23 months today. How's that? So he's 23 months today. We're from a little church called Grace Baptist Church in Malanda, far north Queensland. So it's pretty much diagonally opposite in Australia. If you went, if we said Perth was at about 8 o'clock, we're about 2 o'clock in Australia. But we've been attending Grace now for about 5.5 years, almost. We started attending just for the boys. We wanted them to have more morals. We wanted them to have some Christian ethics. And so we started going just for their Sunday schools. And then we'd leave before the morning service started, because we were only going for the boys. And a month after doing that, I stayed behind one morning to see what a morning service was like, and there was a missionary there by the name of Niels Gade, from America, a missionary to Port Moresby. And I can't remember what the message was on, but he said something in the message that Mum had always said to me, and that was to read the Bible. And he said specifically the Gospels, try to read some of the Gospels each day. And so from there I went home and started reading in Matthew, and I got to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27 and 28, and the Lord convicted me of sin there. Whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. And the Lord convicted me there of sin, and it was about a month after that before I'd come to know Christ as my Saviour. I'll go back and share a bit of my, I guess, growing up stage of life. My mum, she was born into a Jehovah's Witness family, and she was in the Jehovah's Witnesses until she was about the age of 35. Dad was Anglican background, very traditional, and from about the age of 5, Mum took us every Sunday to the Anglican church. So from about age 5 to about age 10, we went every Sunday. Mum wasn't happy there because of her, beliefs that she still held to some of the Jehovah's Witness things. And so we church hopped a bit and visited a number of churches. And Mum ended up not being happy anywhere, so we ended up just around the kitchen table of a Sunday morning, reading the Bible as a family. That probably lasted only about 12 months. And then, because Dad being a workaholic and being on a dairy farm, there's always something to get in the way, I guess, something that came up. And so that sort of just stopped. And as a teenager then, I didn't really have that much input. Age 14, I started drinking. And by age 17, I was addicted to pornography. When I got to 21, I met Tia. And then we had Jeshua and Noah. And Jeshua was 3 and Noah was 1 when we started going to church. The Lord certainly helped in a lot of areas in my life to help me to grow and help me to get rid of things, and that's been a blessing. Slowly growing in the Lord. Our desire is just to be in His will and to be obedient to Him best we can. That's just a view of the Atherton Tablelands. It's completely different to Perth, isn't it? It's green. Okay. So that's a picture of the southern tablelands looking back out to Mount Bartle-Frere, which is the highest mountain in Queensland. So Innisfail will be here. Cairns will be quite a bit north towards the clock, probably. It's predominantly dairy country, although this end of the tablelands is now turning into fattening blocks for beef cattle because of the dairy industry decline. On the Atherton side of the tablelands, it's mostly cropping. So we're just about an hour and a half drive from Cairns. So if you're ever in Cairns, you'll be able to find Grace Baptist Church in Malanda there. It's not far. If you drew a line straight from the Gulf of Carpentaria, you pretty much hit the tablelands, or close enough. Darwin to East Timor, or Timor-Leste, is about an hour and a half flight. The country itself is about 300 kilometres long, about 60 kilometres wide, and very mountainous country. Distinct wet season, dry season, climate. Population is now approaching 1.3 million people, of which about half of that live in Dili. So about 700,000 live in the capital. That fluctuates a little bit with people coming in from the mountain villages. Predominantly younger people coming to get further education, university, learn English, and to try to leave the country so that they have a better life than what they have in East Timor and send money back for their relatives. So that population fluctuates with university, but it's around 700,000 in the capital. I'll mention a couple of mountain villages, and you would have heard of them through Brother Smith's prayer letters. They're around where this Al is, the Al of Leste. The word Timor it was a Malay word spelled T-I-M-U-R, meaning east, and Leste means east, so we're going to east, which is a little bit of trivia for you. Primarily, we're going as a helps ministry to the Smiths. Chris Smith was over in Malanda preaching, and I don't know if it was during his presentation or during his actual message, but he said there was a need for labourers over there. And Tia and I just looked straight at each other, and the Lord laid that on our hearts to be labourers in East Timor. And there were some things I wrestled with it a bit. Because in the same time he said that Malanda was our mission field, which it was and it is. But so I wrestled with that a bit, wanting to leave the farm primarily. And but the Lord used tragedy. We lost a baby at 32 weeks, but the Lord used that in our lives to really get our focus on the right things and what was important. Eternity is long, time is short, and souls are important, and serving the Lord is important and where he would have us to serve him. And so from that we did a survey trip, or just really a confirmation trip to East Timor for a couple of weeks. We took 2 weeks holiday from the farm, and we went and did a survey trip. While we were there, we were able to run a bit of a kids club, and we went around the compound on the Monday visiting some houses, and ran the kids club on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and on the Thursday and Friday we had 60 kids turn up each day, and that's such a blessing and a huge opportunity, I think, you know. So the Lord laid this ministry on our hearts to start when we get there as well, a youth ministry. The country is 95% Catholic, They're not practicing Catholics predominantly, but the country doesn't have any birth certificates. They proof of identity is a baptismal certificate, and so the Catholics believe once you're baptized into that church, you stay into that church. And so they live in fear over there. Chris and Margie have seen firsthand that if a person leaves the Catholic Church while they're at another church, the Catholics will burn their house down. And so the people live in a bit of fear. But there's opportunity with these kids during the week, Monday to Saturday. The Catholics had no problem with us teaching the kids all that week. We were able to do some parables with them, some of the Ten Commandments, and give them the gospel. And so this is the ministry, other than primarily helping the Smiths, but this ministry the Lord's laid on our hearts to be working with these kids. There's a school attached in the compound that's a demountable, two-story demountable that Chris has moved around a couple of times when he shifted. And the school there is similar to sending your kids to a school in Australia. They learn in English, they learn Tetan as a second language. The school primarily has a lot of Chinese and other nationalities in there other than Timorese, because the Timorese can't afford to send their kids to that school. All the teachers are Christians, Filipinos run the school. And this is a little Bible institute that Chris has been running for a number of years. Was put on hold because of COVID. I'm not sure if it's back up and running. But there are 6 students doing 8 subjects. They do a devotion with that, and Chris has asked if I'll take the devotion to free him up a little bit, as well as preaching. This is the little mountain village in Setulan. So it's about 90 km drive from Dili. Depending on the road, depends how long you get there. Road's recently been done up, Chris said, and it took him 2.5 hours. When we visited, it took 5 hours to drive there. The road was terrible. But this is their little church building. You can see it's not big. It's just 14 Besser blocks and a doorway. Nice little building, but it was a blessing to see this church. They wanted their own building, and they got the funds together, and they got all the materials, and they built that themselves. And the brother Aldo was heading that ministry up in Setulan when we were there. He's in Dili at present with his wife and baby, staying with Chris and Margie. He was our main translator while we were there. These are some of the kids he was working with. School isn't compulsory over there, and so Brother Aldo would take these kids, go house to house in the morning, take them to school, and then in the afternoon he'd take them all to the church and do a Bible lesson with them in the church. We were able to do some craft with them and teach them some songs, some children's songs, and they taught us some of their songs. This is in the mountain village of Fata Makere, and this is Brother John here with Chris, and Sister Maria standing far left in the blue skirt. So Fata Makere is about 10 hours walk further on than Setulan. The road is generally always washed out, so you only get through either on a bike or walking. John's heading up that ministry there under Chris. So these are both outreaches that Chris has been, Chris and Margie did many years ago that have been fruitful. And they recently built their own church building. This is on John's property, and that was taken in October. They're now in this building, but again, as a blessing to see. They wanted their own church. This is some of the brethren from Fata Makere that came down for a baptism, to be baptized by Pastor Chris. They walked 3 days to get there. And that's the third time they've, from that village, they've walked 3 days to be baptized. And that's a blessing and encouragement. And they're just enjoying some cake there. And this is our Tetan teacher. So while I was on the dairy farm, we had a fellow that wanted to learn to milk that was Portuguese, and he didn't speak much English at all. He'd moved from Portugal 32 years prior, and his wife with him. It wasn't until after our trip to East Timor that, on our return, that we found out that Malia was actually Timorese. And since then, she's been teaching us Tetan, so coming up 3 years now, we've been learning some of the language. We're very slow learners, and I'm thankful that she's patient with us. But it was a blessing that see the Lord just opening doors and providing for us steps on the way. And so Marley's been a blessing to us. Just some prayer points in regards to, I guess, the ministry we're going into at Wharahara Baptist Church. Printing and distributing of the New Testament. So Chris has been working on that translating work there pretty much since he's been there, almost 21 years. Or 21 years this year they've been there, but almost 21 years working on the New Testament. That's at the printing stage. Their hope is to have that as a trilingual Bible, with Portuguese, Tetan and English on the same page, Portuguese being the national language, but Tetan is the primary language of the country. He's currently translating the Old Testament, about halfway through doing that. The Bible Institute, Margie's Health in particular, is a prayer point. Being in a tropical environment, they've contracted a lot of mosquito-borne diseases over the time and other things. And Margie's got a broken neck, or she suffered from a fractured neck when she had one of these viruses, and so she's lived for the last few years in quite a lot of pain. The potential of the children's ministry there. Chris has just actually agreed to, or made some agreement with the current location of the church for future rent, future lease of the property. The school, outreaches there, Setulan and Fata McCarrick. And just in regards to our deputation, we're here until about May 17th, and then going back to Sydney, Lord willing, then down to Victoria, South Australia, in time. I forgot to mention, Tia's pregnant, due in July. So we hope to be back in Malanda to have the baby up there. And our Tetan lessons, we've been trying to have them every Thursday, but that hasn't been consistent since we've been on deputation. And just the Lord's timing for us to go, and the visas there also. That door seems to be closed at the present with COVID, but the Lord's got us on deputation anyway at this stage. But I guess praying for the Lord's timing and that open door. Is there any questions that anyone has in regards to anything?
How long were you there for?
So we were there for only 16 days for the trip. Yeah.
What are the places there we're actually going? Like the actual
city? We're going to be in Dili. So I'll go there, yeah. So we'll be in Dili and working with those mountain villages, the outreaches that Chris has already started as well. Yeah. Yes. Malaria, yeah, at times. So when we were there, they hadn't had any malaria in Dili for, I think, 3 or 4 months, any reported cases. In the mountain villages, they have malaria, dengue, yeah. Common. There's one, Margie called it chicken gunya. I don't know if that's how that sounded like how she pronounced it. It's similar to malaria or dengue. Yeah, another mosquito-borne, yeah. That's the one I think she had when she fell down some steps and broke her neck. Yeah. There is a little bit of East Timor off the screen here. It's like a little cove, and I'm not sure why that is. And it shows it on the other one, does it? Yeah, sure. Let's go back. Oh, yeah. So that little bit there is part of East Timor as well.
Is there any trouble there? Any violence?
Any trouble, yeah. So there's lots of cars get burnt, and there's a lot of theft, quite a lot of theft, because unemployment prior to COVID was about 60%. So these people have a lot of idle time on their hands, so theft is just common over there. Yeah. A lot of the violence is because money's not flowing from the government to the people. Yeah. And so they're sort of fighting against the government to some degree. It is a democratic country. They vote in their president, so to speak. But it is the Catholics have a lot of they have a lot of force. So Catholic priests especially. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. All right. Yeah.
There's a cause there's a lot of Catholic influence, but that do they come at a government level implement policy that only favors Catholicism over other religions, or would they the government do the
In Dili there's a lot more freedom of religion. Even though it's primarily Catholic, you have more freedom to preach your faith. Once you move into the mountain villages, there's not that freedom. You have to go and get permission from the village chief. And if he doesn't allow you to preach, then you don't preach in that. If there's a Christian in that village, then you're allowed to preach to that Christian, but and if somebody happens to overhear, I guess, then it's okay. But yeah, you can't just preach in the town, yeah. Or distribute tracts or anything like that without the permission of the chief. Yeah. So Chris has been working in Fatima Kerik for quite a number of years, and he still goes to the chief and gets permission before he... Yeah. Yeah.
Can you say...
Diakalai? That's how are you. So it basically, Diak is good, Lai is not good or bad. So you're asking good or bad, basically. And you would say good. You would say Diak, obrigado, good, thank you. So you're probably, obrigado is a Portuguese word. So we're learning, I guess, a little bit of both, but when the Timorese don't have a word, they'll just use a Portuguese word instead.
So there's not much English on
there, is there? If you did a web search, it'd show you that there was 31% of the population speak English, but we didn't find that at all. I would struggle to say there was 5%, if that, spoke English. Yeah. I forgot to mention they use the US dollar as well as their currency. Yeah.
So they speak Portuguese?
So in the government officials and document stuff has to be in either Portuguese or English. Yeah. But predominantly Portuguese is learned as a second language, sometimes even a third language. So Tetan has 34 dialects. So those coming from mountain villages in, they would have their own sort of dialect, and then they would learn the base Tetan, and then they would learn Portuguese in the school, and then they'd learn English. Yeah. Yes.
Are there any major industries in East Timor? I mean, the people, subsistence farmers, is there a...
So there's oil in the Timor Sea. That's been the fight with Australia for a number of years, oil and gas. There's coffee. They export quite a bit of coffee. They do grow rice towards Manitoutou here in this area. They grow a bit of rice, but 80% of the food that that the Timorese eat is imported into the country. So at this stage, they're not self-sufficient in food production. Yeah.
So what do the people do there, apart from stealing the village herbs?
That's a good question. In the mountain villages, they do a lot of gardening because they're reliant on the crops. When in Dili, they're not so much reliant. And Manitoutou, there's a good road between here. But as soon as you start getting out into these places, they'll spend most of their time tending to their garden. Yeah. They might have to walk down the hill to get water into dry season and carry it up in buckets to water their garden. That might. All this area has been contracted out to the Chinese to fish, and they've got their drag nets through this area. I'm not sure on the north side if there's much fishing industry at all. They have been trying to push a tourism. They've got some coral reefs out here, but they're not set up for tourism.
So you're in the street in Dili itself. They're not subsistence farmers.
No, in Dili you'll find more shops, shop beside shop, with selling soccer balls or clothes or that sort of stuff in the shops. Some food shops, restaurants. Yeah.
What's the difference between East and West?
So West Timor is Indonesian owned. Yeah.
So East is independent.
East is independent. So Portuguese ruled the nation from up until 1975 for 450 years, and then they gave it back to the Timorese. They had between 9 and 11 days independence before Indonesia invaded. I'm not sure if you've heard of that invasion. They slaughtered 200,000 Timorese in 1975. And so they've had 3 decades pretty much of war since then. The UN in 1999 gave the Timorese a vote if they wanted Indonesian rule or independence. And they voted independence. And then the Indonesians ripped down power lines and ripped up roads, burnt schools and such. And that's when the UN stepped, I guess, Australia stepped in then. Yeah, UN. So, yeah.
How much is your support for the trade?
We're about mid-60s, 60% of our support, that the minimum of what Chris said to come with, yeah. But we're prepared to go as is. So that's only including church support. We have a house that we will rent. That if we added that in, we'd be close to 100%. Yeah.
I was just going to ask, is there any other, churches around the area, or is it
in?
Yeah, I mean, besides the Catholic, is there anything else?
The Catholics have kept a lot of other faiths out over the years. So Chris has seen the Seventh-day Adventists come and go, and the Jehovah's Witnesses come and go. The Catholics just stop them, really. So there's not many other faiths. So there's 1% Muslim in the country, and about 4% Protestant denominations.
So with supplies that you need to go, what sort of things do you need?
To take?
Mm.
A lot of the white goods and stuff we can get over there, fridges and beds, you can buy beds. A lot of those things we can get. So our plan is just to take suitcases with clothes and books and the rest of the stuff, cupboards and stuff, we can buy over there. A car we'll buy over there, We had planned on taking one with us, but the government changed the rule that you can't bring in cars older than 5 years old now, and so we'll buy one over there. Yeah.
And of course,
the children. We'll take the children. Yeah.
You gonna go?
We might have to hire Aaliyah to
nanny.
As a nanny. We'll take our own Bible, but we don't need Bible. They can't read English. So that's why Chris is hoping to translate, get that printed in a trilingual Bible. Because they can read Tetan, and they can, most of them, or not most of them, but some of them will be able to read Portuguese. And he's hoping that the schools will take that on as a teaching material so that they can learn English in the school as well. No.
How do they read?
I think a lot of the parents send their kids just because they send their kids. In Dili, there's one teacher per 70 kids. And so the teacher splits those 70 kids up into three different groups. And the children will come in a morning session. And then they'll go home for the rest of the day. The middle session will come. So from 11 till 2, and then the afternoon session 2 till 4. I don't know how they...
Well, I'm kind of wondering if they were actually literate in English.
Well, possibly to some degree.
Find out whether literacy is a problem. You might have
to actually teach them. Well, a lot of these kids, I don't know if they were... very good at reading any Tetan. I think the helpers that we had four Timorese, I think, there that day, just going around and helping these kids. So,
one thing to make translations of the Bible that people can't actually read.
Yeah.
A job in itself.
Yeah. I think a lot of the kids don't learn anything until they're at least 8 or 9 years old. Yeah. Outside of. Yeah. Alright. Yeah.
So among the adults, are there very many that are illiterate?
There is, yeah. There is some.
Some or a lot?
Well, Chris said there's quite a few.
I imagine the further out of the city, you've got the worse it
is. Yeah. That's true. I think, actually, Brother Aldo's dad, I don't have a photo of it. But Brother Aldo's dad, I think, was illiterate from memory, yeah. So, I think that's why Brother Aldo is sort of he's got that push to get the kids to school each day. I have the old phone here.
I'm just curious about the medical care over there and whether that's something that you guys are looking to acquire some skills or whatever to do when you get, if you're going out to the mountains.
Yeah. I haven't really thought about that too much, actually. That's a good question. The healthcare is pretty terrible, actually, over there. The hospital system wasn't able to cope with just normal sickness even before COVID. They've got about 100 cases every day now in Dili. And I think that's only going to get worse, but... Yeah, the hospitals are terrible over there. They don't change sheets between patients, and you know, Margie went in about 5 months ago to the emergency, and there was blood, somebody else's blood still on the drip stand, and so nothing's cleaned in the hospital. Yeah.
Is the medication and things you can take with you to help you, like with malaria and?
Yeah, so those things are available over there. We can take them, but I mean, yeah. My concern is if we take them long term, the effect that has on your kidneys and liver, and Yeah, so that's something we'll have to weigh up. When we took the boys over, we gave them the malaria tablets, but we didn't take them ourselves. Yeah. But I think health is one thing we've got to be wary of. Yeah, I'll hand back to you, Pastor.